This Front Page podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to publish a high-quality website or blog. For a free trial and 10% off your new account, go to Squarespace.com and use the code FRONTPAGE.
On Monday's Front Page, BP says it connected a mile-long pipe to divert oil and stop the leak in the Gulf. Europe is worried banks face new problems. The fear is last week's trillion-dollar bailout plan for Greece may be only the beginning. And 3 months after an American-led military operation, farmers are fleeing Marja. They say the Taliban are making life impossible. I'm James Barron. All the news that's fit to podcast begins right now. Our top story says engineers finally succeeded in capturing some of the oil that's gushing from that blown well in the Gulf of Mexico. Using robots, they connected a mile-long tube to funnel the oil into a tanker. It'll take days to figure out how much oil the tube is sucking out, and BP says it's only a stopgap measure. Engineers still want to seal off the well once and for all. They're still planning to pump mud through the safety device at the wellhead that failed in the accident last month. All this comes amid reports that the spill might be much worse than had been thought. Scientists say they've now found giant plumes of oil in the deep waters of the Gulf, and oil could float through the Florida Keys and around to the East Coast. Fear in the financial markets in Europe is building again, this time over worries big European banks are facing new problems. Investors abandoned the euro on Friday in favor of gold and other assets they consider safer. On Saturday, European Central Bank President Jean-Claude Trichet warned in an interview that the eurozone is facing what he called severe tensions. Short-term borrowing costs are rising. That could force institutions to cut back on new loans and call in old ones. Seemingly safe institutions in places like France and Germany hold huge amounts of bonds from shakier neighbors like Spain, Portugal, and yes, Greece. In Afghanistan, farmers are fleeing Marja. That's the district that was taken over in an American-led military operation earlier in the year. The farmers say the Taliban are terrorizing them and that American troops are not providing protection. That's a sign that Taliban fighters have found a way to resume the insurgency. Marja residents who left last week said civilians had to run a gauntlet of mines laid by the insurgents. The Taliban presence keeps them from taking assistance from the government or the coalition forces. Tuesday's Republican Senate primary in Kentucky has become a test for the Tea Party. Times reporter Jeff Zeleny says the outcome will frame the debate nationwide for the remaining 6 months of the midterm election cycle. Establishment Republicans, including Senate Majority Leader Mitch McConnell, are backing Kentucky Secretary of State Trey Grayson. Tea Party activists are backing Rand Paul. He's the son of Congressman Ron Paul of Texas. He says if he wins, it would signal a new direction for the GOP. So-called high-frequency traders are coming in for scrutiny after that brief 1,000-point plunge in the stock market a couple of weeks ago. These high-tech operators are a sort of shadow Wall Street, operating in places like Kansas City, Texas, and Chicago. They account for 40 to 70% of the stock market trades in the country, usually with short-term positions, very short. The founder of one company in Kansas City said in 2008 that his firm typically holds stocks for 11 seconds. Some officials in Washington wonder if ordinary investors will ultimately pay a price for that sort of lightning-quick trading. Monday's Front Page looks at how Archbishop Timothy Dolan handled sex abuse cases when he was Archbishop of Milwaukee. He's now the Archbishop of New York and has used his post to defend Pope Benedict XVI from criticism that he was slow to move against priests. A close look at Archbishop Dolan's record in Milwaukee shows that he tried, not always successfully, to soothe the competing casualties of the scandal. He faced not only abuse victims, but also a church hierarchy that was worried about potentially ruinous damage awards, and also parishioners angry about payments to victims. We'll go inside Monday's Times after this.
This Front Page podcast is brought to you by Squarespace.com, the fast and easy way to create and manage a high-quality website or blog. Brand new widgets allow you to pull your social accounts from across the web and seamlessly integrate them on your Squarespace site. Use Squarespace for all of your website needs. Build it, host it, and manage it. For a free trial, go to Squarespace.com. No credit card needed, just try it out to build your website. Then, if you decide to purchase it, get 10% off when you enter offer code FRONTPAGE.
Inside Monday's Times, officials in Thailand rejected talks with protesters, but the government offered safe passage for any demonstrators who wanted to leave their campsite in downtown Bangkok. This came after 3 days of wild street fighting that left 29 people dead. One leader of the protest offered to withdraw militant fighters from the streets and negotiate if the government called a ceasefire, but he insisted that the UN mediate the talks. The government said no to that. Officials from Brazil and Turkey say they brokered a tentative compromise with Iran in the standoff over its nuclear program that could undermine UN efforts to impose new sanctions. A spokesman for the Turkish Foreign Ministry said that after 17 hours of talks in Tehran, diplomats from the three countries had reached an agreement to revive a fuel swap deal that originally had UN backing. A statement on the agreement is expected as early as Monday. 40 years later, they got to graduate. About 300 members of Boston University's class of 1970 attended a graduation ceremony 4 decades after the original one was canceled amid political unrest. The graduates are now in their early 60s. Many of them are grandparents. Times reporter Catherine Q. Seeley says the makeup ceremony was aimed at healing wounds from the Vietnam era. Monday's Times also looks at municipalities that are issuing IDs to illegal immigrants. A new law in Arizona makes the failure to carry immigration documents a crime. That has boosted similar proposals in other states. But Trenton, New Jersey is one of a small number of municipalities that's moved in the opposite direction. Officials in Trenton are making sure that illegal immigrants have documents to make their lives easier. This is the week when the television networks take turns announcing their schedules for next season. Monday's Business Day section says they're all hoping for hits. NBC is planning 11 hours worth of new series. It needs all the help it can get after the Jay Leno show flopped this season. For next season, analysts forecast that the advertising market will be noticeably stronger than last year. Ad revenue could jump 15% to 20%. But that would only bring the total back to about where it was in 2008, before the recession. It's been 6 months since Gourmet Magazine closed down. Magazine watchers were expecting an industry food fight, with Bon Appetit magazine absorbing Gourmet's 900,000 subscribers. Times reporter Stephanie Clifford says the Gourmet readership and ad base seem to have largely vanished. Bon Appetit has added only 200,000 subscribers to its circulation base. That's our preview of Monday's Times. For a look at all of these stories, go to nytimes.com. I'm James Barron.